Wow. First of all, I have a question. Where's Lin-Manuel?
Right here.
Was that today's daily word?
No, it's from 1972.
Okay. I just thought that's not the one I had at home. I thought it was a little setup because I'm going to be talking about the idea that's not often enough brought up by spiritual teachers and ministers and preachers. And that's the idea of how important it is to honor our humanity. We can't override our humanity to get to our divinity. How do I know? Because I've tried. I've tried to put on that spiritual face, to go through those spiritual moves when I didn't feel like it, when I didn't feel it in my heart. I may have already told you that many years ago when I was married, someone close to me crushed my heart. And he crushed my heart in such a way that ended my marriage. And I was furious. And I was hurt. And I was so confused. I got the information about what happened on a Friday. And on Sunday, I had to share a church platform with this brother of mine. All the way driving to church, I was trying to manage my upset. I was telling myself, you're going to church, you're a minister. It's not okay to be upset. You're making a big deal out of something. And I answered, but it is a big deal. Yeah, but minimize it. But I feel it. Minimize your feelings. Think about something else. When I walked into the doors of the church, if I have told you this, I told you honestly. I know I have told some churches where I've spoken quite honestly that when I walked into that church, all I wanted to do was beat him up. I wanted to whip his Association of Unity Churches. But I knew that everyone counted on me to be a man of God and to be spiritual. So I walked into the doors of the church. I walked up on platform. He was looking very paranoid as he saw me walking toward him. And I opened my arms really wide. And he said, you forgive me? And though I hadn't, I held him and said, oh yeah, bro. No problem. And it was a huge problem. And so pretending and acting like I forgave him left no room for me to do forgiveness work. It already looked to me and to everyone else who many of the people knew what had happened and were shocked and amazed, and I visited confusion on them as well. They were thinking, if something like this happened to me, I could not immediately embrace the person who did it. But I just saw Reverend Carlos do that, and he's my inspiration. I've got to do that next time. Once more, having presented as though I forgave, I had no need to do any work to forgive. I already had my goodies. Well, every day and night, my mind was so swirling with devastation. What he did was not okay, not by a long shot, and yet I couldn't tell him. What you did crushed me. I don't want to touch you right now. I don't want to share the platform with you right now. It does not seem like I'm being authentic right now. One thing I've discovered is that we have decided that we have a multitude of feelings, and we have judged some of our feelings to be holy and others not. We have judged it to be a holy feeling when the feeling is happiness, joy, peace, thanksgiving, but sadness, brokenheartedness, bitterness, devastation, loneliness, and confusion, we have named not holy. And so those of us who are in spiritual communities, doing spiritual work, wanting to be spiritual people, have learned to be not okay with normal human feelings like anger, upset, sadness, grief, and disappointment. All we've heard heralded is forgiveness, joy, dancing in the street no matter what happens. And most all of my sermons throughout my life have been reminders that that is available, but not enough sermons in all of my life have been to tell people to honor your experience. If your heart is broken, embrace that your heart is broken. Feelings come to be felt. If you do not feel them, you push them down. And feelings pushed down and judged against do not promote mental health, physical health, or emotional health. And they never get resolved. How do I know? I've done it. One thing that allowed me, I realized after a couple of weeks, I'm going to have to do some work on my feelings because I can't be in the presence of this person every Sunday where all I want to do is shine for God. All I want to do is release and let go. How can you release and let go when you feel continually impacted? Once he had been given the news from me that it was not a problem, he started acting and talking as though it were not a problem. He took his cue from me. And I wanted to whip his Association of Community Churches. I held it in. I became stiff. My muscles began to grip up. My stomach was always upset. I asked God for a miracle. And I thought I received one because this guy got a job on the other side of the world, somewhere over by Australia. And he left my sight. And not having him in my sight, I didn't need to do any work. I'll just put him out of my mind. I won't think of him anymore. So once again, I didn't do the work of forgiveness because I felt as long as he is not around to continue to sting me, I don't need to forgive him. I don't let him live in my brain. About 5 years later, his daughter, who was a member of my church, and the dearest person to me, one of the dearest persons to me, was one of my supports when my beloved, love of my life, Johnny Earl, was dying of AIDS. She held me, she hugged me. She, along with the rest of the family, embraced me. It was awesome. And when he died, and she told her father how heartbroken she was to lose him, we discovered that he had embraced the Pentecostal religion at that time in the little country he was living in. And so he told his daughter, God killed Johnny for being gay. AIDS is God's punishment for the unspeakable sin of two men having a love that causes them to covet. And he said to her, enjoy your Uncle Carlos while you still have him. Because if they have slept together, God will visit him with AIDS shortly. You watch and see.
Oh my God.
When this young woman told me that, after a church service where I praised my God, all I wanted to do was borrow enough money to buy a plane ticket, to fly to that little island, to go into the first store I saw that sold baseball bats and take one upside his head. That's how I felt. I wanted to wring his neck. I thought, how could he visit two devastations on me? I realized in a big way I had not forgiven him, because the rage that I felt 5 years previously came back, as the scripture says, pressed down, shaken together, multiplied, and returned back to my bosom. My mind and my heart were filled with rage. I decided not to think about it. I'm not going to see him. Nobody's going to loan me the money to catch a flight to that island to deal with his Association of Unity Churches. So I just began to forget, push it out of my mind. And I told myself, the problem is yours. You need to really start letting things go. Anything can happen in your reality. Anything can happen in your experience. The spiritual thing to do is just to let it go. Don't let it occupy any space in your mind or in your heart. If you're a good little boy, that's what you'll do. And so, to the best of my ability, I did. Fast forward 3 years later, his daughter is coming to me saying, Daddy's dying. He's returned to Massachusetts. He's in a hospital in Springfield. He, for some reason, wants and says he needs a visit from you. I went. When I had my time with him, and the doctor said he has less than 48 hours, when I went into his room, he was frail. He was not really present fully in his eyes, and he reached out his hand to me and said, if you have not forgiven me, please do now. And I walked over to his bed, and I grabbed his trembling hand, and I went, brother, I've let that go a long time ago, lying through my teeth, pretending that my feelings were not worth standing up for, were not worth honoring, because I wanted to present as spiritual. Let me tell you, you can't be divine without being human. You can't get into your divinity without feeling your feelings and not judging some as being holy and others as being not. All of your feelings are worthy of feeling. And if upset is in you and you honor it and you embrace it and you recognize it and you tell your truth about it and take deep breaths and ask inside, what can I do with this feeling? The answer will be, feel it.
Amen.
And once you have felt that feeling, a very interesting thing happens. It no longer needs to stay in you. Its work is done. I came to be felt, it says. Now that you have felt my upset, and you have felt it fully, get the lesson, and now I leave. Amazing. It was not for years after he actually died, and I actually lied to a dying man, that I actually began to do the work, to feel my feelings and stop judging them, to honor my humanity as well as my divinity, to know that humanity, your human self, your human feelings, your human experience are not to be bypassed, not to be jumped over to get to your divine self. You have to move through all of that to get to heaven. It's essential and it's important. The scripture that I gave to Leo is the end of a scripture. Could somebody read for me the end of the scripture that was in your program?
In due season,
we will reap if we faint not. The beginning of that scripture in completion. Is so important, and it's the crux of what I'm saying today. It says, let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. What is our well-doing? It's doing the best you can. It's giving the fullness of yourself. It's playing the game of life full on. It's really going for it. This scripture is saying, don't be weary doing your best. You're confused about what your best is as a spiritual person, as a spiritual community. You think your best is to do an example of what I just shared. To not be hurt when you're hurt, not be sad when you're sad. Put on a smiling face, whistle a happy tune, skip through the tulips. Present as though nothing bothers you. And it's not a problem. I cannot tell you how many times in my life that someone has done something to me from the time I was knee-high to a grasshopper, where somebody hurt me on purpose, and I said, not a problem, it's okay. I gave them a green light to do it again and again and again, all the time secretly hurt, hoping and praying inside, they would just stop. They would be good. They would see that I'm good, and they would be good to me. I thought it was not okay to stand up and tell the truth. Not okay to say, get behind me. Not okay to say, I am not going to take that anymore. From the time I was a little kid, I was placed in the role of peacemaker. I was a little kid who had the bright little spirit, the bright little eyes, and connection with Jesus, and Carlos is a Libra with five houses in Libra. He's always for fairness. If you're ever in contention, call Carly. I was the peacemaker for my brothers and sisters. I was the peacemaker for my aunts and uncles. I was the peacemaker for my cousins. I had adults call me as a child, call my parents, can Carly come over so he can fix this mess? And I did, and I went, and I thought it was my role. And when you've been cast in a role, you want to play your role perfectly. And so I really gave myself to it. I was the same in all my classes in school, and the same in the neighborhood. Carly has been cast as the peacemaker. And do you not know it did not end as being my own personal identity until 2 weeks ago? I have been trying to be the peacemaker. I've been believing it's my function. At the various churches that I minister at, like life, there's a lot going on. and like life, it is very rare that everyone is getting along with everyone. And everyone is loving everyone. And everyone is understanding and uplifting. Very rarely. If two or three people in one of the churches are at upset, and Carlos comes and does whatever he can do, and they get it together, and they are hugging, and they are back in harmony. A week later, three other people over here erupt. And I get a call, and I go running. This is my role. This is why I was born. I am meant to put people back together. When that scripture says, be not weary, it doesn't mean don't get tired sometimes. We all get tired sometimes. That word weary is deeper than tired. That word weary is like, I have been doing this for what feels like forever, and it's not helping me really. Because if I can intervene and resolve the issue between two people, and it takes all my work, and they get together, at the end of all my work, I am exhausted, I am drained, I am weary. And if I do it and it doesn't work, I feel like a failure. Yeah. What did I do wrong? Where's my power? Where's my light? Come on, God, I work for you. How come I couldn't keep this couple together? How come I couldn't keep these two people on the board from fussing and fighting? I've been gardening in my yard for weeks, and every time I'm gardening in my yard, I'm gardening in my mind. I'm looking for weeds. I'm looking for invasive plants in my own brain, trying to free my herbs, free my flowers, free my vegetables, which are what I want to grow, from the invasive plants. And you have to stay on top of that where I live. I live next to some woods, and the wild is always busy trying to take over the little plot that I have tamed. I've got to be on it. So I'm out there a few weeks ago, and I am really going, oh my God. I got another phone call from my church in Boston. The fire I put out that took me 2 months to put out must have left a burning ember somewhere, because it caught fire again. And I'm going there in 2 days to try to put that fire out. And I was weary. And a rainstorm came out of nowhere. It was torrential rain. I got ready to run into the house so I wouldn't get soaked. And a quiet voice said, stand right where you are. You need a baptism, and that's what I'm giving you. I stood in the middle of my yard, and I put my hands up, and the torrential rain began to pour on me. I was soaking wet. And I heard a voice. Carlos. I know the voice. Yes. What makes you think your job is to do the impossible? I'm not trying to do the impossible. I'm just trying to get everybody to love each other. I'm trying to get everybody to get along. And then the voice said, Carlos, yes? The answer to Rodney King's question, can't we just all get along, is no. It's not how the system works. It is not how the system works. That voice went on to say, it's not why the system was designed. Once again, Carlos, hear me for the second time. The answer to Rodney King's question, can't we just all get along, is no. Not here on planet Earth. Not in the field of polarity. Not if you want to grow. Not if you want to need a reason to reach down inside you and grab the power that is within you so you can get through some stuff. It's not supposed to be a system where everybody all the time is in sync and in harmony and everybody just loves everybody. You're talking about a dead zone, a no growth zone, a no inspiration zone, a non possible zone. You, Carlos, become weary going for that with everybody you know. You become weary. If you succeed, you become weary. If you fail to succeed, you feel like a failure. There's stuff that's going to be going on all the time. And none of us are bad or naughty. And we do need to continue to receive the word about how possible it is for us to make conscious choices on how to deal with our upset. But one of our conscious choices should not be to judge ourselves as non-spiritual. That is such a painful thing for people on the path of their spiritual growth, is to constantly have a feeling, a normal, natural, human feeling come up, and our immediate response is, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? When am I going to get it together? When am I going to stop having those feelings? Never. Embrace them and consciously choose how you will move forward and upward. Once more, the whole scripture says, be not weary in doing your best. For in due season, you will reap, you will get the benefits of being a full, all-embracing human and divine being. You will reap the benefits of a non-self-judgmental attitude. You will reap the benefits of being on this planet, putting one foot in front of another foot in front of another foot, honoring what you're feeling. When you're happy, embrace your happiness. And when you're sad, embrace your sadness. Some of you know that when Johnny Earl died, in the spiritual community, I traveled all over the country and in other parts of the world with Johnny Earl in all these Unity churches, all these Course in Miracles institutions, all these Science of Mind churches. And when my best buddy died, the messages that I received from so many of the Unity people, they skipped my human process. They did not say, I know you must be heartbroken. I know you're in pain right now. But God will heal you. It said, hey, Carlos, hi, so-and-so. Yeah, I hear Johnny's made his transition. Nothing's lost in spirit. Just hold on to that. I want to find them and whip their ass of Unity Church. I wanted my human self to be honored. And there were four Unity ministers who honored me, who didn't leave me these little spiritual quips, these little spiritual, oh, nothing is lost in spirit. I know you're not sad because I trust that you're grounded. founders of this church, along with Britt Hall and a wonderful group of people. Paul was one of the Unity ministers who honored my humanity. He loved Johnny too. We were all in a choir together, and Paul, Reverend Paul and I were in a theater production that Johnny Earl was the musical director of. So Paul had his own love for Johnny, and I'm sure felt his own loss for him and was having his own human experience. And so he and some others honored me. I'm not telling anybody to go out there and whip some Association of Unity Churches. I'm telling you that you must honor your humanity in order to grow and develop into your divine self. Be kinder to yourself for feeling normal human feelings, and don't judge them. I leave you with this. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear and that there's nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is.
Sensations are not holy, this is not true. Holy means whole. The whole package of composite beingness that each of us is. Here, in a plane where it is simply not set up for the system that all things be in harmony or appear to be between all people all of the time. It is getting brighter, and in many places more are joining. But please don't expect the lion to lay down with the lamb just now. We will always have our challenges. We will always be riding on an emotional roller coaster at times. Our call is to be honest. Honest about what we feel. Honest with ourselves. And then by extension, honest with others. Because if we never tell them how we truly feel, they'll truly never know how we feel. If we do not tell ourselves how we truly feel, we will never know how we truly feel. The scripture ends with the words, faint not. Fainting is going unconscious. The scripture is reminding us not to go unconscious, to stay awake, to honor and to embrace the whole of the holiness that we are. We get to our divine self through the experience of our human self. Thank you, God. Thank you for the holiness of all my feelings. When I feel them, I will have moved through them to a higher place. Holy is your name. Holy is your nature.